Get out the insurance cards, get out the copays. The office is open, my friends, as this video is brought to you by DrRoto.com.
Oh, baby. Good morning to you, Adam White. I am Johnny Danger. This is In the Cup, brought to you by DrRoto.com. And my friend, it is the Masters week.
Are you Masters excited? I'm excited. Sorry, there was a pregnant pause there. I wasn't sure what to do. I got my Augusta Green on. The birds are chirping outside. The flowers are blooming. The trees are budding, or however that goes. It's just a beautiful time to be alive, Danger. Par three tournament's going on today. All the little caddies, the cute little kids, will be carrying their dad's bags and hitting putts and shots, and it's just a beautiful time, man. Augusta's it's a magical place, and I think everyone kind of realizes this is the moment. Well, we've turned the corner, buddy. We're in Michigan. Spring is here.
Spring is here, my friend. Who do you have to win the par three tournament? Who did you bet?
I don't think I even have thought about this. We'll go Joaquin Neiman.
All right. We'll watch that. Speaking of Joaquin Neiman, we were chit-chatting before I clicked the live button. And how much I kind of miss some of these players that abandoned the PGA. And what is your feelings about them today at the Masters? Is there... any fade or love at all just because they haven't been playing on the PGA?
No. And the nice thing is we actually do have strokes gained data from LIV now. So we can see how these guys are really getting it done. The guys that are finishing up towards the top of the leaderboard, we can tell why Brooks Koepka is struggling. There's a guy who finished second last year who I am not on now that we can see what his strokes gained look like. I'm not gonna discredit their chances just because they are on LIV, but we still need to see the same things. Course fit, a little bit of history here, and hopefully form. Like, if you're not playing well, I don't care what tour you're on. This is not a place where you want to try and find it.
Right.
National.
So we're not gonna necessarily discount LIV players, but I'm surely going to discount players without course history here for sure. Speaking of course history, tell me all about the Masters and what we're looking at.
Dude, we're at Augusta National. I've been there on the hallowed grounds. It is truly a magical place. You feel like if you're a golfer at all, it's just a spiritual experience. The grass is so well manicured. It's pretty unbelievable. Flowers are in bloom. It's in the patrons. The biggest thing I want to mention is the patrons are better. I don't want to say better behaved, but they have a better appreciation for the game and the things that true golf fans look for. Much like you will see overseas at the British Open or the Open Championship, whatever they want to call it. It's a beautiful experience, and I will be there again one day. But as for the course, it's about a 7,500, a little over that, depending on where the tees are and where the pin placements are. Par 72, we got four par fives. The famous ones on the back are the 13th and 15th, very easily reachable. The par threes on the back are not long, but they're very memorable. You can think of many shots that have been hit by, like, Tiger over the years, the ones that dunked it in 19, like Brooks, Finau, Molinari, on number 12, and then Tiger almost holding out on 16, his hole out in 2005. Like, the beautiful thing about this course is there are memories from years past. So it gives us that association with shots hit on each hole. You have those memories of actually watching each shot. The course is not particularly, it's not going to play as short as the yardage says. Now, they actually mow the fairways so that the grain is against the players as the ball is landing from the tee box. So you're not going to get a lot of rollout. And what you'll see is on these par fours, especially, last year it was over 70% of approach shots were struck from over 150 yards out. So if you're thinking, hey, it's going to be a wedge contest, you want these guys who are flipping wedges in there. I'm not really even looking at how well guys have been doing from inside 125 yards coming into this week on that approach range. So, absolutely gorgeous course. Very undulating fairways. You'll very rarely see a flat lie where a guy is just sitting from a flat lie, hitting the shot to a pretty level green. Everything is uphill, downhill, a little left to right slope, a little right to left slope. So it'll play mind games with you. You know, if you're really on and you're feeling it, you can get going like we've seen some guys run away with this tournament. But, and there might be one guy who could potentially do that this week. But overall, it's a course where you're going to see about 10 to 15 under be the winning score. That's what it's been since they made some changes and lengthened some holes. But, yeah, just the back nine sets up for some really exciting golf, some very gettable par fives, some large swings. We've seen guys birdie the last four holes to win this thing out of nowhere. So going to be an exciting week. Greens are extremely fast and undulating, so we want guys with good short games. But we will get to some of that in the breakdown of the players we like and why.
Love it, my friend. As always, Adam has a complete breakdown of his favorite picks on drroto.com. It's behind the paywall, so you got to go be a member. Check out Adam's very intense breakdown and spiritual reckoning of the Masters. Let's get into it, my friend. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 gentlemen, 10K and above. Let's just get it out of the way, man. Is it too Scotty or not too Scotty?
Yeah, that's where it starts. Like, I think if you're not going Scotty, you're going, Rahm's kind of been a mediocre form. McIlroy hasn't played well here. Koepka, maybe not. Like, if you're not going Scotty, you're going, all right, I'm going to go balance lineup. To me, it's to Scotty. Like, I think you almost have to Scotty this week. It feels like he's on the verge of, I don't know if I want to say a Tiger-esque run, but a dominant run, where he's contending in every major, winning 1 to 2 a year, which I've never said, like, this guy is the next Tiger, and he's not. But he is as dominant as anybody we've seen since Tiger, and I think he's ready to show that in the majors now that he's got a putter that has gotten him to putting like field average. So, yeah, if you're fading Scotty, I mean, good luck. You were talking before the show as well, before you click live, that it's like him and four other players who are most likely to 10x their salary or 11x their salary. He is that good that he's priced that much higher than everybody else, and he's still that likely to be one of the top scoring guys and guys you need in your lineup. So it does start there, and for me, I don't see how you can make a viable argument outside of ownership that you should fade him.
Sure. I mean, you know me, I play one lineup, so a lot of times I will fade the top couple of ownership players just because. But if I go anywhere else in the 10K, just by pure model statistics alone, the only one that even says to me, maybe play this guy, is Wyndham Clark. So 10K flat, he's been pretty darn good this year. His ownership's going to be the lowest of anybody in the top 5 to 8 players. So I kind of like him there. What do you think about Wyndham Clark?
I want to like Wyndham. It's crazy to think about this, but 1 year ago, he was playing like alternate field events. He really had no guarantee he was going to play in each major. And he's gone from that to now being a bona fide top five, at least the way he's played. He might not be ranked there yet, but the way he's played over the spring stretch, basically since last year when he won leading up to the Wells Fargo, he is now one of the players you can consider elite and in that kind of echelon where you expect him to contend in majors. With that being said, this is his first Masters. It's hard to believe because he won the U.S. Open last year. He's been on this tear where he won a rain shortened event and then finished second to Scotty consecutive weeks. But to me, the course history is the big reason why I'm going to fade him. I expect him to make a lot of birdies. I expect him to make the cut. I'm not concerned about the injury from a couple weeks ago. He was kind of tweaking that in Houston. But to me, the course history, I weigh a little more heavily this week because it is the biggest correlation and the most important week to have that course history and that understanding of the subtleties of Augusta. So to me, not a guy that I'm on. If you are playing it to win a GPP, to win the Millie Maker, if you're going to fade him for that reason alone, yeah, he makes a pretty good leverage play up there because
for sure,
he looks like the second lowest owned player that I've got shown outside of Cantlay in the 9K and up range. So you're talking about 12, 15 golfers. So does provide a lot of leverage, just not a guy that I'm on. Basically, just because of the lack of course history, skill set is there, and he
on paper. I mean, course history here in the British, very important. So please, as you have an encyclopedia knowledge of this, remind me who has not played and who has played. I don't know if you've all been watching week after week, but I ask the questions. Adam makes the answers. That's how it works around here. All right, let's get into that 9K range. I have gotten a couple people pop up here. The aforementioned Joachim Niemann, one of my favorite golfers. I enjoy watching him play when I could watch him play. I guess I could look up Liv. I just don't watch. But I enjoy him in that 9K range. I feel like I normally want to play Hideki in matchups like this, but I just have a bad feeling about him. You know that I always get tricked by my models into loving Patrick Cantlay, but you hate him this week. Tell me why.
I don't even know if it's your models. I think right now it's the leverage score where you're like, ooh.
It is a leverage score. Yeah, his scoring is fine, but the leverage.
He is a good leverage score as based on what you're seeing on your website. But he's a good leverage score because nobody's on him for good reason. his approach game has been way off. He's not driving it as well as he typically does. And really, if you look at, if you dig into his stats, normally he's a very good putter. He's lost strokes in over half of his last nine starts, like five of his last nine starts, he's lost strokes on the greens, and he doesn't play a lot of events. So he's had time in between to kind of find that. And the only time he has, the only time he's top five this season is when he gained 1.74 strokes per round on the greens and happened to have a good approach week. His approach game, dude, he hasn't gained more than a quarter of a stroke on the field per round in his last seven events more than one time. He happened to line up his putting and approach play at the Genesis, and that was it. So as we've mentioned, this is not a place where you want to try and find your game. I need to see some type of indication that you're playing well enough to contend in a couple events. And he just hasn't shown that. The Genesis was one event. He's a California boy. He's very comfortable there. But yeah, Cantlay, I can see why he'd be a good leverage score, but that's because no one's on him for good reason. Yeah.
Well, the only two people that you know, double up in stat projection and good leverage scoring and good top five percentage, there's only two in the 9K range, and it's Xander and Joaquin.
Yeah, Joaquin's been playing ridiculous golf. It's now that you get a look at his strokes gain data. I mean, obviously, if you're finishing up towards top of the leaderboard and winning multiple times, you're playing great golf. But the way he's doing it, his approach game has been out of this world, almost as good as I think we're going to see this week, that if he plays his golf, almost as good on the approach game as Scotty, not as all around, but on the approach game, he's right there. Xander, we talked about a pre-show, as complete of a game as there is. He's extremely consistent week to week, no weaknesses in his game. So that's the thing about Augusta is if you've got a weakness or a part of your game that you're struggling with right now, it's going to expose that. And you will not be able to contend because of that. So Xander, Neiman, Matsuyama, these guys I'm just eating the chalk with because they are so likely to contend. Like you look at Hovland is tinkering with his swing, not very confident right now. Spieth, he's been kind of all over the place. Now this is a course where he can find it. So with him being a little lower in ownership, yeah, I could see getting on it. But then you got Zalatoris not playing great golf, coming off the injury. Stamina isn't really there. He could peak, but not a guy I'm on. Then Oberg is his first event, his first Masters. So that kind of narrows it down.
I think I'm locked into only Scotty at the top, and so far like Xander and Neiman, and you know maybe a little Decky. I don't know. I feel like Decky's ownership always goes a little too high in these situations.
You were talking yourself out of Decky. The thing is with him, his game has been, outside of putting, which has been kind of up and down, which it is for most players, he's gaining strokes consistently in every other category. His short game has been unbelievable. So even if his approach game is off for a round, it won't be for more than one round. Like, he's an absolute robot. The most robotic outside of Scotty, as far as, like, just expecting exactly what you're going to see. Or hitting the shot he expects to hit. But he's gaining in every category. Off the tee, approach, around the greens, consistently every week. So if the putting is at least average, he's going to top 10, if not top five. So he's a guy I'd love to fade him at 16-17% owned. I just can't do it. He's been
I've got him over 20 on my sheet. So
and we've mentioned this, like, oh yeah, he might get over 20, but I think the more ownership Scotty gains, the more guys are going to go to Matsuyama because it's hard to get Scotty and Schauffele and Neiman in there. So I think you're going to see him get very high owned, but Riviera is a good comp course. Dude shot 62 to win there this year, and since then he's been lights out, so can't fade him.
All right, I dig it. All right, there's exactly one player in my my projected scores in the 8K range that cracked the top 10 in my simulation. Can you guess who it is?
7K, I would go Sahith.
No, in the 8K range, not in the 7K. Oh, in the 8K range, sir. Don't jump ahead.
You're right. I would guess Shane Lowry.
Very close, very close. But the highest projected score in my simulation this week was Bryson DeChambeau. I have him as the number 10 overall projected player in scoring, 8,200. We haven't talked about him all year, obviously. So tell me about Bryson.
Yeah, I'm good on that. On paper, you would think, oh, he's a bomber. He's gonna hit it out there past everybody else and lean on his driver. He leans almost too much on his driver to gain strokes on the field and to contend. And I don't know if you know this, but he's never had a top 25 here. But he's played here quite a bit. He famously said this is a par 68 for him, and since then has not really sniffed contending. I don't know, unless he's changed something about his approach at this golf course. He's a pretty stubborn dude. He's much more like the way he thinks about golf. He's very calculated. He wants to be very precise. And I think the little nuances, the things that you have to rely more on your intuition and instinct with at this golf course drive him crazy. Mm-hmm. He's not a very creative short game player. He's got his wedges at the same length as his 7-iron. Honestly, I don't think that helps him here. Yeah, he's just not a guy for that reason. It's just not the type of course that he will sort of feel and think his way around in a way that like a Jordan Spieth or a Bubba Watson or some of these guys will. He's just not that type of guy with his approach to the game. So if he tops top tens, I would be surprised. If he does that, it'll be on the strength of, you know, ripping up the par fives. It's the only way he can.
Well, to be fair, the 8K range is very short this week. Short and ugly, to be honest. I don't really care for it because I'm probably going to pay up for two guys higher than that. It's going to be difficult to pick guys in this range for me. Shane Lowry was the next guy on the list in scoring in that range. Tony Finau. But there's a lot of negative leverage scores in this zone.
And I can see why. Like you can make very, very quick and valid cases against every one of these guys outside of, to me, Shane Lowry. Yeah, just none of them are playing all that great. You can see why JT is priced down. DJ hasn't been playing that great on LIV. Seems like he's sort of just coasting over there after taking the money. Cam Smith has significantly dropped his level of play since he left for LIV after winning the Open Championship, which another guy that I miss, like him and Neiman right now would add so much to the PGA Tour in their big events, but whatever, we can't lament over that. Yeah, Lowry, he's going to be one of the higher-owned guys in this range. I can see the argument. Cam Young is a guy that I wanted to be on before the week, but his short game and putting, the fact that it's only his second Masters, take me off of him. I'm just not really interested. So you're right. I'm kind of skipping over this range too, which I'm sure means one of these guys is going to be an incredible leverage play and contend to no one's surprise.
I mean, can't get out. The simulated leverage does like Colin Morikawa, but the projected fantasy score is not that great for the range.
Yeah, it's a week where I'm looking for path of least resistance. Like I want to see guys whose skill set, form, it just kind of matches up with, and the experience matches up. And to me, that's Lowry. He's a veteran. He's played in Ryder Cups. He's won a major. He's contended in other majors. I think he's at that point in his career where he's gaining confidence in the States. He had multiple top five finishes this spring in the Florida Swing. And I think it's that time where he just realizes how good he is and kind of puts the game behind it. So I love him as a top 10 bet this week. And I think he's going to end up being one of those guys you kind of need to have despite the higher ownership.
Fair enough. I don't mind Lowry, you know, negative leverage score because people are kind of going to be on him at that range because he's at the very bottom of the 8K range, right? So you can start with some guys in the top, come back down with him, and then get bargain after that. But let's talk about the 7K range. This is where we're going to make our money this week. There's a lot of names we've loved on this. We got Thigala here. We've got Connors. We got Fleetwood. You got old timers like Patrick Reed and Ricky Fowler in this range. Justin Rose. We've got some names here, including last week's winner, Bhatia, and the top five, Russell Henley. And we got a lot of things to break down in the 7K range. Kick it off for me, buddy.
We do, and I think this is the range that's either going to make or break you if you're trying to contend or win a GPP this week. I think anybody who, just the way it's looking, like Scotty's going to contend, Neiman, Schauffele, those are going to be the higher owned guys. And I don't think you can get away from them really. This is going to be the range where you kind of make your cash this week. I'm seeing high ownership on Fitzpatrick. I can see the leverage in him being more of an elite player than his price would indicate. He's been playing a little bit better, but just not a guy I'm interested in. Doesn't hit the ball particularly high. He's fairly long, but not long enough to dominate these par fives. The guys that we're seeing a lot of ownership on are Thigala, are Russell Henley. Siwoo Kim is starting to get a lot of ownership, so I like to start looking at ownership first and then working down from there. Mm-hmm. Corey Connors is looking pretty highly owned too. I don't know why Fleetwood is highly owned.
I have him as the 15th highest scoring player in the model.
I'm very curious as to why that is. Like, when he's on, his approach game is what carries him, but that has not been.
He's predicted to be the highest percentage to 10x his salary this week, according to the simulated models.
I don't get it. I mean, he's got a decent short game, but what he leans on is his approach game, and he's lost strokes on approach 3 out of 5 weeks. Like, the weeks he's gained this year haven't been significant as far as what he's gained. So, no, it's Fleet was not a guy that I'm on. The ownership guys in this range, I can't get away from Thigala myself. I think he's kind of got that creativity like a Spieth with his short game, with his approach game, and he bombs the ball. Now, his one knock is he's not accurate off the tee, but you don't have to be here. There is no true rough. It's all – the only thing there is a little bit of a first cut. I'm sorry, a second cut, and that's about it. It's just shorter rough. So the guy that I'm really starting to get on is a Georgia boy, is a guy who is a recent Open Championship, almost forced a playoff at the Players. He doesn't fit that sort of skill set that you would expect to contend here. But I love Harmon this week. Like, Harmon is a guy I'm starting to come around on, and seeing him, if he's under 10%, that's a guy I may end up pivoting to. I mean, he gained 2.5 strokes on the field at approach at the Players, at the API was 1.75. He's always good around the greens. His putter can get super hot. He's accurate off the tee and long enough that he's par five. So that's the guy on the top of this 7K range that I'm looking at as a really nice leverage
point. Well, I tell you what, I've got him as a top 25 scoring player. I've got him as a top 10 leverage play. I like it. All right, we're in agreement. Finally, our first guy today, we're in agreement. Brian Harmon. All right, we like him at 78. How about, also his ownership projection on my sheet, 6.66.
Yeah, sign me up. Time me up. I'm playing some Harmon.
I like it. All right, let's talk about a few more players in this range. We have some old timers, right? But just people who are veterans who've played a lot of ball here. Jason Day, Patrick Reed, Ricky Fowler, Justin Rose, Adam Scott. Any love for any of these guys?
Yeah. It's not for like a course history's there, but this is not for a skill set reason necessarily. It's not even for a form reason, but Patrick Reed, when he's backed into a corner and when the world's sort of against him, he loves to create that controversy, like a rules controversy, and then play well and shove it in your face and be like, look what I did. It's like, well, that wasn't the point, but he is sort of at that point now with his career. He's playing this week only because he finished top 10 last year in this event, T4. But his five-year exemption from his 2019 Masters victory is up. So he's got to play well to get himself from the Masters into these future majors, because he's not getting world ranking points playing LIV. That's a guy just from a self-belief standpoint and from a course history standpoint. He's finished top 10 three of the last 4 years at the Masters. He's got the short game to do it. He's not long. He's shorter than tour average. But he's played this course a lot. Like I said, a win and then followed up with 3 top 10s in the last 4 years. So Reed's a guy that I am interested in for those reasons. The other guys you mentioned, not really. I mean, Scotty, I can see Adam Scott having a good tee to green week. He's just been struggling around the greens and with the putter. Justin Rose, though, that's a guy I think in a cash game, double ups are going to have a lot of overlap. So that's a guy I really expect to make the cut. I'd be shocked if he didn't like.
Hey, man, a cut maker at a Masters at 3% owned is okay with me in a cash game.
Right, exactly. And that's kind of what you're looking at with him. I'd be shocked if he contended. He's just not long enough and doesn't quite have the game for it anymore. But he's going to grind his ass off, and he's going to be low owned. So you know those things about him. Ricky, I mean, if you're on like Underdog or any of these bet apps, you can bet score. I'm betting like over 73, over 74 on his first round score, and I'm betting for him to miss the cut because nothing about his game is lining up this year, which is sad to say. I love Ricky. He won in Detroit last year. I watched it. It was great. Was there in person cheering him on, but he's been kind of trash since then, to be honest.
Fair enough. And what do we feel about last week's winner?
You know, if he hadn't tweaked his shoulder, I know it's his first event here, but he's showing some incredible approach play. And maybe that decreasing his ownership is the reason why he's a good leverage play. He's got the skill set for it. Lefties, believe it or not, have an advantage here. It's why you've seen Bubba, Phil, and these guys do so well. It's also one of the reasons I like Harmon this week. But I can't personally get on it. I think he's going to be a little bit ahead in the clouds this week, enjoying the moment. It's been a whirlwind. Personally, I'm off of him, but I can see the merit for it. I can see why you'd jump on and just try and ride that momentum. Incredible week for him, by the way. What a victory. Like, fighting off McCarthy was not easy. And that's another guy that we'll see down the 6K range we'll talk about here in a minute. But, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, let's get into that 6K range. I mean, we can skip the bottom of the 7K. I think, Siwoo's interesting, but he's going to be very highly owned at 7,100. I don't know if I can get behind that. Phil Mickelson is not a play. So let's get into the 6,900. One of my favorite players in the 6K range, Chris Kirk. How does he match up on this course? I like him. I don't know how he matches up on this course.
Yeah, I think my issue with Kirk, there's a couple of them. He's not overly long, so he's not going to dominate the par fives. He doesn't have great course history here, and he can really only work the ball one way into the greens. Mm-hmm. The guy absolutely cannot play a fade. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yep, I got you. Can you hear me? Because I hear you. Oh, no. We have to reset Adam. Can you hear
me? I'm right here.
I hear you. We're good.
So, Kurt, yeah. My issue with him is he absolutely cannot play a left to right shot into the green. He's also not long enough to take advantage of the par five. So, to me, skill set wise, course history wise, he just doesn't have
no good.
He doesn't have what I'm looking for here.
No good. How about my postman? I've been riding him early in the season, and I haven't played him much lately.
Yeah, he's okay. Again, he's not the guy that I'm looking for. Who's going to kind of give you that, like I call it, the easy birdies, the path of least resistance. He's going to have to work his ass off for these things. So if he has a normal around the greens week, a normal approach week, even if he putts well, I just don't see him contending. So Poston's not a guy that I'm on. I know he's going to be low owned, but there's good reason for that. The guys that I do like up here, I'm actually on Sergio.
All right.
I'm buying in. Last week he switched putters before the event and rode that to a second place finish in Miami at Doral. He's got the course history like we've talked about. He struggled a bit here lately, but a lot of that's been because of his putting and his mindset. I'm banking on Sergio being that wily veteran who's still striking the ball really well to give us a chance to contend this week. Not contend, like top 25.
Last time I played Sergio, I think, was the famous all a-hole lineup that I put together a couple years back. So it's been some time since I put a buck on Sergio Garcia, I tell you that.
It makes sense. It's been a while because he's been on LIV, but
yeah.
Who else was on that squad? Was Brooks was on that squad?
Oh, Brooks was on there. Bryson was on there. That was the week after what's his name in Mexico stiffed his caddy.
Kuchar, yeah. Yeah, that's bringing back some memories here. That was a good line. I mean, it was a fun line to put together.
It was funny. And then, like, we couldn't figure out the last one, so we just looked through player profiles and looked for somebody who looked kind of douchey. Like,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. That was fun. All right, so we got a couple names down here that have been hot this year. We'll talk about EVR. We've got Eric Cole. We've got Luke List. We've got a few guys that we've kind of liked around here. Jake Knapp, Benny Ann. There you go.
Don't you dare mention Luke List right now.
Luke List.
I he's not in the field. As far as I'm concerned, he's not in the field.
He's in the field at 1.7% projected ownership and a positive leverage score, sir.
Yeah, it's enough. That's enough. We're not talking about him. So if you're you're looking at guys from a skill set.
And if it helps you at all, he's ranked number 69 in my model.
He should be that low. He's down towards the bottom. He's down with the old guys. That's where he should be. If you can't tell, I don't really like Luke List, but
no.
The skill set guys, the guys I'm showing has some value down here. Byung-Hun An is a guy coming off of two missed cuts. He's played here one time and missed the cut. However, he's gained some distance. His approach game has been very good this year overall. So when he's contended, I want to see guys like when things click for you, what do you do well? And that matches up very well with what Augusta sort of asks you to do in order to contend. I don't expect him to finish top 20. There will probably be too many mistakes. But he also has a very easy path to a lot of birdies. So on these par fives, if he can make 2, 3, 4 birdies on those holes each round, and or at least average 2, 3 under, and just hang in there on the par fours and threes, he's going to be there at the end of the week. A guy that's been playing a lot better this recently on LIV is Adrian Meronk. He's a guy that he's got a good pedigree. Like, he was expected to be one of the top players and be a perennial Ryder Cupper. So I wouldn't be surprised if Meronk ends up making the cut pretty easily and maybe flashing on Friday to make you think, ooh, who the hell is this guy? But Meronk is definitely that guy. You mentioned EVR, you mentioned Eric Cole. Just not guys that have much course history here. For Cole, it's none. EVR, I think this is his second Masters. Just not guys I'm looking at that have the form coming in.
How about our boy Emiliano Grillo?
Yeah, Grillo, nah. I want guys that are at least mentally strong. And like Grillo, even to this day, even as he ages, if he makes one bad swing and makes a double, or he'll turn that bad swing into a double and then very likely to derail, much like Luke List. Yeah. I see those guys as very similar players. So
a lot of Discord chatter around Lucas Glover this week. Is that a price point only, or is there some meaning behind that?
To me, that's price point only. You know, he's a guy that, much like Chris Kirk, can really only work his approach shots one way into the greens. He's a right-to-left guy, doesn't hit it very high, doesn't have a good short game. Like, no, just not a guy that I'm interested in. If he does anything, he'll make the cut and ball strike his way to lots of pars and a few birdies here and there. Not relying on a short game because it's just not there. Now,
so we don't really like anybody in this 6K range. Do we just have to keep dipping lower, sir? What's going on here?
Yeah, there are some guys here. There's not a ton of guys that I love, but we mentioned Sergio. Mm-hmm. I mentioned Benny Ahn. I mentioned Adrian Meronk. That's three guys in the top half.
Well, I know, but you didn't really give him a ringing endorsement. How about Denny McCarthy? Can I get some love for Denny McCarthy?
Not at 11% ownership.
I only have him at 6 on my list.
That's going to go way up. I have him closer to 11. I'd be surprised if he wasn't at least 10% owned.
Mm-hmm.
That's a guy that I'm good on. No.
But are you fading him for ownership only, or is this guy going to put together a top 15 run for me?
No, I'm fading him for ownership only. He doesn't have he's long enough to compete on tour, but he doesn't hit his iron shots. Iron game is not his strength, and that's what you need here. You need to be precise with your approach shots. You need a short game you can rely on. His around the greens game is just okay. And has he played here before, Danger, more than one time? No, I think it's his second Masters. So just not a guy that I'm interested in.
All right, can I play the funnest name on the list though? Do you know who the funnest name on the list is?
Let me try and get inside your head here. The funnest name on the list.
You know how I like to play my names.
Rio Hisatsune?
No, that's a good one, though. Santiago de la Fuente.
I saw him just after saying Rio. No, yes. I would not play him. Now, the guy that I did mention, he's an absolute monster of a human being.
Yes.
He contended and he was leading after one round of the British last year. Became the number one amateur, so that one round was not a fluke. Christo Lamprecht played at Georgia Tech. He is in based on his exemption from winning the amateur last year. He's 6'8", so of course he absolutely bombs the ball. Hits his irons very high. I expect him to make a lot of birdies. That is the leverage play that I like down here. Outside of McCarthy, who's going to be, he's going to get some ownership. Eckroat's getting some ownership. McCarthy's going to be, Shank is going to be fairly well owned. Like, that's the guy, Christo Lamprecht. We see amateurs pop here. They're sort of like, they just don't know any better. They don't know that they shouldn't be contending. They don't have that, they don't like have that scar tissue built up. They're just like, hey, I'm out here. Look at these beautiful trees. This is amazing. Oh, I got to hit a golf shot. And they knock him up to 5 feet and make it. So he's the guy I'm expecting to sort of surprise and maybe not contend into Sunday, but to be up there and still make a lot of birdies and vault up the leaderboards in your lineups, because he's not going to be very, very owned. I will give you two more names that I do like, Danger.
Okay.
Since you're hating on me for not giving the value this week.
That's right.
Keep in mind, there are some very old guys here. Like,
yes,
Danny Willett's here because he played.
VJ Singh is here, man. VJ Singh.
Dude, I went to the Masters in 99. Mm-hmm. I watched Jose Maria Olazabal win that Masters. And by the way, it was his second.
Yeah.
He's playing this week.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not young when he won that Masters. He was like in his mid-30s. So
yeah, man. Mike Weir, Fred Couples, they're all here.
Weirzy was right after that. Yeah, there's some guys here that you just know are like zeros. They're not going to contend. Camilo Villegas, like, yeah, he won an event. It was an alternate field event. Zach Johnson, come on, dude. Like, these guys are not, they're not contending. So you got a bunch of zeros down here. However, amongst those zeros, you've also got, I'm not looking at Eckroat because his ownership is too high at his skill set, his price. The guys that I do like, I'm getting on Nick Dunlap a little bit. So Dunlap is a guy who won the Amex as an amateur and then turned pro. He's in the field because he won the Amex. He won a professional event as an amateur. Finished 11th last week. Approach game came around. Putting very well. I think he's got the self-belief you need here. Hits it high. Is he going to contend? Probably not. But I think he'll make a lot of birdies. I think he'll make some noise. The other guy I'm looking at down here, Danger, can you guess it?
Can I guess it?
65 or below.
65 or below. I know we've liked Kitayama before. We've liked a little Team Moore before. Let me see. Is it my pizza man?
Malnati? No, it is not.
Nah.
Just as a guy that I like to make the cut.
Who you got?
I got Lee Hodges.
Lee Hodges, really?
Absolutely. So yes. I wouldn't be – he's not greater on the greens. So that's a check in the negative column.
But yeah, but he can't make me a pizza. I'm uninterested.
He could. Are you judging based on the Italian name only? Is that what?
Yes.
Okay. So he's not a guy that I'm going to have in most of my lineups, but he's a guy I can see some merit for. He's not super young. He's pushing 30. He's rode very good approach play in a few weeks this year. And some good putting to some decent finishes. So not a guy that I'm like super excited about. I play Lamprecht over him all day long, mm-hmm. Just for the upside factor. But he's a guy that I could see expect to make the cut. Three straight cuts before last week, three straight top 35s, as a matter of fact, in some pretty good fields too. 12th of the API, 26th at Valspar. And he's ridden different parts of his game to those high finishes. So, you know, if he putts well, he's already shown he can have an elite off the tee week. He can have an elite approach week. So if it all lines up, I could see him finishing top 30.
All right. Well, it is time for us to get out of here, sir. Do you want to go first or second in our pick of the high-end contenders?
I mean, if we can double our is anyone not going Scotty here? Like, you have
to. I mean, let's just take Scotty off the board. If we're not playing Scotty, who are you playing at the high end?
Xander. 100% Xander. Xander, again, is second most consistent player in the world outside of Scotty. His skill set is there. He's ready to contend, in my mind, in majors. I think he might have one of those years like Ricky did where he finishes top five in every major. Will he win one? We'll see. But I think he's ready to take that step and shut everyone up, because narratives are narratives until they die, Danger, much like Sergio Garcia winning a major. There's a lot of guys we can name. Phil Mickelson was that way for a long time, and he is maybe not that level of talented, but pretty darn close. So Xander's the dude I love up here up top.
I like it. Well, I agree with you. I do like him, but I'm going to go one down. I'm going to go Joaquin Neiman. I do like Scotty. I do like Xander. I do like Neiman. Maybe I'll put all three in and then play some crazy 6K plays. I don't know.
That gets ugly. Yeah, all right, go ahead in the mid range.
All right. In the mid range, who am I going to knock out of the park in the mid range. You know what? I just think that I'm going to go with Thigala. I'm going to go with Sahith Thigala. I think that, a top 10 is in the cards for the man.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I love Thigala. The guy I'm going to go with is a few hundred dollars above him. I think it's time for him to contend. We talked about the reasons why. Shane Lowry. The big Irishman has great hands. His approach game has been on fire. This course, he can work it both ways into the greens. He's been hitting it well off the tee. If his putter gets hot at all, give me that testicles, that two ball, the Odyssey two ball putter. If that gets hot, he's right in the mix.
All right. Can't argue with you there. Who you got on our value range?
We going sub 7K?
No, I would say we can go, the 7K to top 9K range. Nothing crazy, you know. What you got?
All right. If we're going mid 7K, down into the sixes, and I got to pick one guy. Hopefully it's a fun guy. I got to go Coco. We haven't actually mentioned Coco. So missed the cut last year. Phenomenal tee to green game. Before that, though, he had a couple of top tens. I think Connors, despite not having a good short game around the greens, is a guy who can ball strike his way to a top 10 finish here.
Fair enough. I am going to just eat some chalk, my friend, and keep with a hot hand and go with Russell Henley at 7,200.
Can't hate you for that one. You want a couple of wagers?
Well, I'm just going to say for deep value, I am eating all the chalk, and I had Denny McCarthy circled last night before we even got on the show today, before I even looked at ownership. So I got to stick with my guy.
Yeah, I would take like three dudes over you on head-to-head bets for the week in the six mid 6K and down range, and you can have McCarthy.
Okay, fair.
He's my most confident fade of the week that is over 10% owned in like the bottom half of the field. Everyone up top is 10% owned or more, but
yeah,
that dude. Fair enough.
So who's your guy? Is it Christo? Is your deep value crazy pick Christo? Is it Christo? Tell me it's
great. That's a pretty deep value play. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to say I'd expect him to beat McCarthy this week, but it wouldn't shock me at all. And I think he will outscore him on DraftKings for sure.
Maybe Maronk?
What you got down here? I would take Maronk, Ekrot, and Sergio to all beat him. But if I'm picking one guy, I'll go with Adrian Maronk for the upside.
All right. I made a note of all those players to beat Denny McCarthy. I made a note. We'll adjust this next week when we're on the show. All right, I love it. You got a few bets that you like?
Yeah, so a few guys I like. It's always fun to have a little extra interest on round one. I do expect Xander to come out of the gate swinging. So first round leader, I love him at 22-1. Also Sahith and Lowry at 45. I got to put money where my mouth is. He did it last year at the British. Christo Lamprecht, 150-1 as a first round leader. Why the heck not, right? There are some guys I like a lot too in the top 10 range. So Sahith 4-1 as a top 10 finish this week. He did it last year. It was his very first event. The course fit is there for Mr. Thigala. We got Neiman as a top 5 at 5-1. We've got Matsuyama as a top 5 at 4-1. Xander to win at 16-1, I think is pretty good value. There's like one guy in his path. If Scotty falters for a round and a half, maybe the bulky putter costs him. Xander could jump right up there and be that guy who takes this title home pretty easily. We talked about Reed needing to contend to keep his major championship just participation alive. So him at 70-1 is a guy who caught my interest for sure. Why not Christo Lamprecht for a top 40? He's at about 4-1 there. I think that pretty much rounds it out, man. I'm not opposed to betting Neiman to win either. Like, I think he's maybe being overlooked a little bit by the world of golf as far as just how good he is and the level of golf he's playing. So I wouldn't have flinched to see him. I think he should be, if I'm handicapping it, priced right around where, maybe not Rory, but where like Xander and some of these other guys are. So you're getting him in the 25-1 range. I like Neiman a lot right there.
Well, I appreciate it. Again, for the rest of Adam's picks and breakdowns, head over to drrota.com and check out his master's article. And we will see you next week, sir, I do believe. Are we back next week or we have a week off?
I mean, yeah, we got RBC, bro. We got
RBC. Yes, Hilton Head. Yes.
Yeah, Hilton Head.
All right, yes, we will be back next week. On behalf of Adam White and all of the crew at drrota.com, I am Johnny Danger, and we will see you next week.
See ya.
Thanks for stopping by the office. Get your fantasy prescription by subscribing to the channel and checking out drrota.com. And until the next visit, be well and take care.